Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. This is the month of December, and today is the first day of December. And we're very glad to bring to you a mini Christmas series entitled The Gift of Christmas. And this is an opportunity for us to bring all our friends every Sunday in the whole month of December, whether they are Christians looking for a church, a spiritual home, whether they are non-Christians or even backslidden Christians, to come every Sunday in the month of December. The gift of Christmas is really about the gift of hope, which is what we'll cover this morning, the gift of hope. Next Sunday, we'll cover the gift of joy. And then the third Sunday, the gift of peace. And on the final Sunday of the month of December, on the 22nd of December, is the gift of love. Please note that there will be no Christmas service on 25th December. If you do come, you will be the speaker. But we do this intentionally so that on the 25th December, you could gather your family, your friends, and not wait till 25th December, but for the whole month of December as we unpack what the gift of Christmas is all about. Seen in the gift of hope, joy, peace, and love. A story is told on the 7th of December, 1927. A USS-4 submarine was accidentally rammed and hit by a U.S. Coast Guard ship. And the crew were trapped in it as the oxygen in the submarine ship went out, as the submarine sank, and as rescuer dived into the sea to save as many crew they could. One of the rescuer heard a survivor tapping a Morse code in four English words. And the four English words is there any hope? Is there any hope? You know, these four words, is there any hope, continue to epitomize the heart cry of humanity today. And some of you, as you enter into the month of December, as we come to the end of yet another year in 2024, your heart is screaming the same four words. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for my life in society today? Is there any hope for my relationships? Is there any hope for my family? Is there any hope for my career? Is there any hope for my studies? For those of you who are still studying like the boys and girls jumping up and down upstairs. Is there any hope? And many more during such uncertain and challenging times that we are living in today. But the good news is that this morning, the Word of the Living God offers to us a very timely message to bring to us the first gift of Christmas, entitled The Gift of Hope, that you and I would need so desperately this Christmas season. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. I'd like to invite all of us to stand on our feet as we honor the reading of God's Word. And let's read God's Word together in one accord with one voice, reading from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 to 25 from the English Standard Version. One, two, three. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Eternal God of hope, in uncertain times, remind us of this unwavering hope through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us beyond struggles. Help us trust in your purposes and inspire us to pass on and share this gift of hope to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Is there any hope? It is not just the cry of humanity, but it's also the context of the passage that we just read in Matthew chapter 1. There was so much spiritual darkness before the first Christmas. It was marked by separation from God, moral decline, prophetic silence for almost 400 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a time of great oppression under the Roman occupation and under oppressive regimes. Despite this, hope began to emerge with the news of the coming Messiah bringing hope and salvation to this world. This is summarized in one verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Friends, the hope this Christmas, the gift of hope this Christmas is essentially Emmanuel, God with us, which is the very meaning of the name of the birth of this Son, Jesus Christ, on Christmas. But this gift of hope rests on two unwavering fundamentals. You miss it, there is no hope for us this Christmas. And so the gift of hope rests on these two unwavering fundamentals. Firstly, God is personally with you. And secondly, God is presently with you. Two very important, unchanging and unshakable and unwavering fundamentals to our gift of hope. Let's look at the first fundamental. God is personally with you. It is anchored in this phrase, "and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. It is not somebody else. It's not angels is with us. It is God himself who is personally with us. The name Emmanuel appears three times in the Bible, twice in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah and once in the New Testament found in the text we just read together in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. But the first time it occurs, the name Emmanuel occurs, is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And he says here, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Does this look very familiar? Of course, you will know by now, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 that we just read this morning is a direct quotation from the prophecy released in Isaiah 7, verse 14. It was a prophecy released to King Ahaz of Judah that God himself, God would personally deliver the people of Judah some 2,000 years ago from all its enemies. And this prophecy ultimately refers and points to that miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that was born and conceived of the Virgin Mary. God is personally with us. And it has got three key implications in how we live our lives. If God is personally with us, firstly, the incarnation of Jesus. When the God Almighty became just like any one of us. The incarnation of Jesus is when God became human in the form of Jesus Christ. He is both fully divine and fully human. And that's the meaning of the incarnation of Jesus. But this means because of the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus is able to experience every human pain and suffering that you and I go through in life. And He offers Himself as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of humanity. Through Jesus Christ, we see God's love and His selflessness in a very human and relatable form. In short, the Creator God Himself chose to dwell among us, His creation. He came all the way from heaven to earth to live among us. Charles Wesley was the one who said, "Our God came to dwell in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, God, who is eternal, became subjected to time, fulfilling the prophecy of Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Himself reflects the Father God, and God sent His only Son, not His angels, but He sent His only Son to live among us and with us and to save His people from their sins. The second implication, if God is personally with us, then God is not our foe, but our friend. He is both our friend and our advocate. The phrase "God with us" means God is for us. He came to offer hope and salvation to you and me and to this world. He understands our pain and our suffering. He is not our enemy, but our friend. As D.L. Moody once said, when God gave Christ to this world, He gave the best He had. God did not give to the world His second best, but His very best, because that's what the world needed most. That's what you and I needed most. You see, my friend, if our greatest need in our life is more information, God could have sent to us an educator and now AI, ChatGPT. If our greatest need was technology, then God could have sent to us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, then God could have sent to us an economist. If it has been pleasure, God would have sent to us not just our Korean drama, but also an entertainer. But our greatest need in life and humanity was for the forgiveness of sins. And that is why God sent to us in Jesus Christ a Savior. And so this baby Jesus we celebrate at Christmas did not just come to Singapore to give us another public holiday. He was sent to the world not just to boost our shopping mall sales at Orchard Road. Jesus came to save us and to offer to us eternal hope. Because without God, you and I will be lost and empty, facing the eternal judgment of God. But thanks be to God, He came not as our foe, not as our enemy, but as our friend and our advocate. Because there is no one like Emmanuel, God with us. The third implication, if God is personally with us, then He is with us both in good times and in bad times. Here, Jesus promised to be with us always through all our trials and our difficulties, providing for us comfort and guidance. This message of God with us offers to us hope and encouragement, especially during this time and the season of Christmas. In a place in UK called Burnhill Fields, it was a famous cemetery. It was famous because there are many notable people that are buried in this Christian cemetery, like Isaac Watts, Daniel Defoe, and Susanna Wesley. They are all buried in this cemetery. I've never been there before, but I read about it. But opposite this Christian cemetery is a very special chapel called John Wesley Chapel. On 2nd March 1791, when John Wesley himself, at the age of 87, was in declining health, and he knew his days were numbered. But John Wesley held on strong and remained steadfast in his faith in God. And this was his parting final words on his deathbed. And I quote, "The best of all is this, God is with us." How many of us on our deathbed can say this? The best of all this, it's not just my family is with me. It's not just my children is with us. No, he says the best of all is God is with us. Reflecting his assurance in the very presence of God who is with him all the way. My friends, this Christmas, the first gift we unpack for you is the gift of hope. It brings to us a God who is not far away from us, but he is personally, intimately with us. This God desires a personal, close relationship with us, not one that is from afar. And my question for you this morning in our first gift of hope is, do you know this Jesus personally? If you do not know him, then this is the day. Perhaps if this is not the day, perhaps this is the month. In the gift of Christmas, that you will get to know who this Jesus is. But many of you here are already Christians. And the question for us, therefore, is, do you know Jesus personally, not in the past, but are you still walking and knowing him personally today? We may celebrate many Christmases in the past. And this Christmas may be no different for us if we celebrate this Christmas without drawing near to this God, without knowing this God who is personally with us. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to journey with you. He wants to offer hope and companionship in every moment that you are going through. Just last month, the church staff celebrated our Thanksgiving by visiting an elderly home. And for some of the staff, they had never been to an elderly home. In the elderly home, many of the residents, we were told by the directors, many of them living in the elderly home are just waiting to die. They're just waiting for their last day on earth. And as he was briefing all of us what to do in our morning spend there, this was his challenge to us, and I quote. And he says, if you can put a smile on the face of the resident, it is worth it all. If you can put a smile on the face of a resident, it is worth it all. We came with all kinds of programs, games to play, karaoke, photo booth, even a special jia liao lunch for them on that day. And our main aim is simply to put a smile on their face. It's to bring the gift of hope to them. I say, Lord, I'm ready for this challenge. Lord, bring me to someone I can put a smile on her face. I met many residents, but there was one that I was drawn to. I call her Madam A. But Madam A is in her 80s, and she was sent by her family there. In fact, I'm wondering, why are you here? She looks so healthy and strong, very mentally alert as well. But she was a single lady, and so extended family sent her there to live on her own. And as I sat there to just listen to her story, how she ended up there, how she lived each day, how she spent her time, the Spirit of God prompted me, say, son, don't just put a smile on her face, share the gospel with her. And so in my broken Mandarin, I attempted to share God's love with her and says, I know you are lonely, you feel very hopeless, you're just waiting for the day to come. But I say there's more to life than just the last day on earth. And so in my simple broken Mandarin, I shared about how God loves her, how God wants to save her from her own sin that perhaps she may not even be aware of. She thinks she's a good person. She's all right. She's never done anything wrong. She has never gone to prison. And to cut a long story short, at the end of the gospel sharing, I asked Madam A, would you want to receive this gift of hope? Do you want to invite Jesus into your life? And she said, yes. I tell you, I'm ready to leave that place that morning. I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share this simple message of hope to Madam A. You know, the Bible says, even if there's only one person in your family who will receive Jesus this Christmas, the entire heavens of angels will all be clapping because somebody has come home. They will do a better job than what you did just now. And I said again, Madam A has come home to be Jesus. It's not Santa Claus has come. It's not I receive a gift. No. Whatever gift you'll be receiving this Christmas will be a fading gift. That doesn't mean you don't give a gift. But the gift of hope is eternal. It's something that no one can take it away. And I'm so glad that Madam A has received this gift of hope for the first time in her life. And her Christmas this year will be different because she has received and experienced the God who is personally with her. This gift of hope is anchored and rested on two unwavering fundamentals. The first is that God is personally with you. But the second unwavering fundamental is that God is not just personally with us, but He's also presently with you. Matthew 1 verse 23 says, "And they shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. It says Emmanuel, which means God was with us in the past tense. No, God continues to be with us even right now. As you think about, oh, when will Pastor Tony finish? Let me think about what I should eat for lunch today. He is there with us as he's thinking about, wow. So he's telling you, focus. Focus still on the gift of hope. Stay with me. Now, through the divine incarnation of Jesus, who is the second person of the triune God, He identified Himself with our human state and our condition. And this God is not a distant deity. He is very near us. He is very present with us. The Gospel of John says this in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then He says, "And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us." Jesus took on our very human nature. He feels what we feel. He understands our emotions. He is not just God with us. He is God present with us. Imagine with me a child who is very frightened by lightning and thunder. She sees a great storm outside the window of her house. The storm is loud and near. The thunder is threatening. But the child experiences incredible peace because she knows her father is presently with her, holding her hands, standing by her. In the same way, our God, our eternal Father, is like our spiritual daddy. He stands next to us. He holds our hands. He is presently with us. Not just in the past or in the future. He is now presently with us. My friends, what are you going through presently in your life? What kind of storms of life are you facing today? Is it sickness? Is it bereavement? Is it pain? Is it a loss of a relationship, a loss of a job? Is it loneliness or desertion? Whatever the storms of life you may be facing, remember this Christmas, God is not just personally with you, He's also presently with you. He has come to stay with you. He has come to dwell among us. He has come to reside in us. Even if it's to the point of death, the Bible says, Psalms 23 verse 4 tells us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. You see, my friends, no one can accompany us and be present with us all the way, even to the shadow, to the valley of death, except God Emmanuel, who is with us. So no matter who you are this morning, no matter where you are, and no matter how you are feeling this morning, God is presently with you. For those of you who are still studying in school and uni, God is with you. For those of you who are soldiers in our army, Christ Jesus Emmanuel is the captain of your salvation. For the fatherless child, God remains the everlasting Father to you. For the lonely, He has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. For the weary and burdened, He offers rest and peace. For the sick and suffering, He is the great physician and healer. For those in darkness, He is the light of the world. For the widows and the widowers, He is our comforter and our defender. And for the lost, He is the good shepherd who seeks and saves the lost. This Christmas, who can you share this gift of Christmas with? Starting from today, the gift of hope. Next Sunday, the gift of joy. And the next two Sundays, the gift of peace and the gift of love. Who will God be directing you to share this gift of Christmas with? So that this gift of Christmas do not stay with you, but you gladly and joyfully share this gift with someone who have yet to know the gift of Christmas. Last Sunday, Pastor Kai shared with you in the closing message on Leviticus what some of our people in Woodland Center did to bring that gift of hope to the residents, to those who are needy in our community. We call it Bless to bless, B to be. Last Sunday, it was Bukit Panjang Center turn. And this coming week, it will be our East Center turn. And what a joy to see many Covenanters in BBJ Center last week as well, as they take many poor and needy families. So what do? They bring these families to bookstores, like popular bookstores, and allow the children who are poor and needy to buy new shoes, their textbooks, their exercise book, their stationery, a school bag, to be ready to start school next year in 2025. For some of these families, we will bring them to the grocery stores, NTUC, Sheng Siong, and they can buy whatever they need for the family. After the meal, after the time of shopping for what they need, so glad many of them will end with a meal with this family so that we can have conversations with them. And you know what? Many of these residents in the community will say, why are you guys doing this to us? Why are you guys doing this for us? We don't know you from Adam. And you also don't know us. But why are you spending time with us? Why are you showering and blessing our sons and daughters? And our simple answer, we are blessed to bless. God has blessed us so much. And just hearing stories, people from the community, they are from various races, various religions, various languages, but we do all the same. Sharing the gift of Christmas with them. But more than that, we don't just bless the people around in the community. This season is a time where many of our people go forth in short-term mission trips. Even as I speak this morning, a team is leaving the airport this morning to go to Indonesia. The pictures I show are teams that have gone in just in the past 2 weeks in Cambodia, in Thailand, in Philippines, and they're all in different parts. Why are they doing this? And throughout the year, many of our young people will save money, not just to go on a vacation, they save money so that they can go on a short-term mission trip to bring the gift of hope to the nations. We've yet to know the reason for this Christmas. But if we are not going to the community and to the nations, there is an opportunity for all of us to bless our friends, our non-Christian friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, perhaps someone you know had been a Christian long time ago, but backslided. Then bring them in the coming weeks. Next slide, please. So this is a time for you to take up your phone to not take a picture of me, but the slide. These are opportunities for you throughout the month of December that you can bring your Chinese-speaking relatives or parents to our Christmas outreaches in Mandarin, in Hokkien, and also to our English services for the next 3 Sundays, but also for Indonesian domestic helpers or even Filipino, and even to our very migrant Christmas as we go forth to bless the migrant workers who work for you and for me here in Singapore. And I'm so proud of many of you who have prepared Christmas gifts to bless them so they don't just come and attend a Christmas outreach, but they go back with a Christmas gift as a result of attending a Christmas outreach. The gift of Christmas, firstly, it's about the gift of hope. And this gift of hope is anchored and rested upon the God who is personally with us and also who is presently with us. And if we have Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, it is Christmas every day. My friends, Jesus is more than just a plastic Christmas figurine that people bring out to put in their home nativity sin at church or in a home, or simply a decoration in the manger sin. Because God has sent to us a Savior, a Redeemer, to save us from our sin. A story was told of a man who came to a group of people and asked, "What is your name?" And the first person said, "My name is Joshua. What is the greatest sin you have ever committed?" And Joshua said, "Well, I want things I don't have." And the guy put a badge on him, "You are a coveter." Not covenanter, but coveter. He went to the next person, Veronica, and says, "Veronica, what is the greatest sin you've ever committed?" And she says, "I can't tell the truth." "Boop, you are a liar." He went to the next person, Peter, and says, "Peter, what is the greatest sin you have ever committed?" And Peter says, "I take things from people." "You are a thief." He goes to the next person by the name of Julian and says, "Julian, what is the greatest sin you ever committed?" He says, "Oops, I slept with some women." And a badge was put on him and said, "You are an adulterer." He turns to the next person by the name of Lucy and says, "Lucy, what's the greatest sin you committed?" And she said, "I keep losing my temper on my husband and my children." "Murderer." He turns to the last person by the name of Jabez and says, "Jabez, what is the greatest sin you have ever committed?" And he says, "I like idols." 我有很多偶像, idol worshipper. You worship and you chase the latest gadget. Whatever. Idol worshipper. All kinds of badges were put, and then he came to a person and he asked this person, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name is Jesus." "What's the greatest sin you ever committed?" And he says, "None." "Okay, if it's not greatest sin you ever committed, what is the little sin you have ever committed?" And Jesus says, "None." And so then he went around all the people that had badges on their chests. He took the first badge. He went to Joshua and says, "Come, let me take your badge, coveter." He went to Veronica and says, "Let me take your badge, liar." He peeled off the next badge on Peter, the thief. The next badge on Julian, adulterer. The next badge on Lucy, who is a murderer. The next badge on Jabez, idol worshipper. And he says, "Let me take all your badges." That's what Jesus, the gift of hope, has come to do for all of us. He takes all our badges, whatever badges that is on our chest, and he says, "Let me take it all. Because I'm Emmanuel, God with you." Let's pray together. The gift of Christmas unfolds and unpacks this first gift, entitled "The Gift of Hope." And I'd like us at this point in time, you just pause. What does this mean for me? And I'd like us right now to sing this song, sitting down, because this song tells us what Christmas is essentially all about. It's about Emmanuel, who has come to be with us. We sing this sitting down in the first stanza.
Christmas is about His glory. Christmas is about His grace. Christmas is a gift of love the Father gave us. More than just another story about a special time and place. Christmas is a time to lift a song.
Let's stand together.
God is with us, and we celebrate the glory of His presence.
In Christ, He has come.
the night we're singing.
God is reaching out.
God is reaching out to
bring us the gift of hope.
Bringing us the gift of hope in Christ our Savior. More than just a time of giving, this is God's eternal plan. Christmas is the reason we can sing again.
Emmanuel, Lord with us.
For God is with us, and we celebrate the glory of His presence. Christ has come to fill our hearts with love. He came to save us.
As we bow our heads and close our eyes, some of you may be asking that question that the dying crew in the submarine asked, is there any hope? Perhaps you might feel alone and empty this Christmas, wondering, does anybody love me? Perhaps you ask, will I get any Christmas gift this Christmas? And the answer from heaven today is yes, 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 because Emmanuel has come. God has come just for you, to be with you, to be for you. And if you have never ever met Jesus or experienced this gift of hope, then today is the moment. The time is now. God wants to save you and be with you as your Emmanuel, God with you. And this Christmas can be radically different as you now open your heart to Him and to invite Emmanuel to be personally and presently with you. And you can do so as our heads are bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, to pray quietly this prayer in your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus and sacrificing your Son for me on the cross so that I can be forgiven of my sins. Thank you for this gift of hope at Christmas, because Emmanuel, God is with me. Reconcile me this morning to be with you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have prayed that prayer quietly in your heart just now, as our eyes are closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, you have prayed that prayer online, in your own room, in the car where you are watching this live stream right now, and if you're here on site, then lift up your hands. Scan the QR code at the end of this service. Let us know that you have prayed a prayer so that someone can journey with you and introduce Jesus even more, and how you can grow in your discipleship and in your faith journey with God. But if you're here on site right now, you prayed that prayer just now for yourself. This Christmas, it will be different for you. If you prayed that prayer, just quietly raise up your hands, so that I know you have prayed that prayer and I can pray for you. Anyone, just raise your hand if you have prayed that prayer and say, yes, Christmas has come to my heart for the first time in my life because I've received this gift of hope in my life. Then you raise up your hands right now and then put it down. Anyone, raise it up, put it up, raise it up high so that I can see, I can pray for you. Anyone. If you're watching on live stream, you can do so. Scan the QR code so that we can be in touch with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for those who have raised their hands right now. In Jesus' name, through your Holy Spirit, will you seal this precious gift of hope in them. That Emmanuel, God is with them. I want to speak to the rest of us who are Christians. Perhaps the year 2024 has been a very difficult and challenging year for you, filled with many trials and challenges. But despite this hardship, today you can take heart and find strength in the unwavering truth that Emmanuel, God, is with you. And may the truth of God's Word continue to strengthen and empower you to face each day with renewed courage, to be encouraged by His constant presence with you, that He is personally and presently with you as well, through every trial and challenge, guiding you, walking with you, and supporting you every step of the way. Thank you, Lord.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.